We'll go back to John 6. We'll pick up in verse 34. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. Now that's remarkable. That's absolutely remarkable. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Did you hear that? And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out, for I come down from heaven. I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which have sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Is that a blessing? Thank God. If you go back to when the children of Israel was in the wilderness, you can see that it was a desert land. It was just a desert place. Dry, hot, and just a wilderness. But your Bible says that God, if you go back and look at it, when they were in that wilderness, the Bible says that God did something very special every morning. In that desert, in that dry and thirsty land where no water is, God did something special for his people every morning. What was it that he did? He covered the ground with dew. Thank God. He covered the ground with dew, and then he also covered the ground on top of that dew. He let fall some manna on top of that dew. Yeah. Food. Angels' food, the psalmist said. If you're in a desert, ladies and gentlemen, if you're in a dry place, if you're in a place where no water is, and I've taken time to just look at this and ponder upon this, but if you're in a place where no water is, I can promise you that dew is a welcoming sight. It's amazing at how much the dew will do if you get to studying it, how much the D-E-W, not the Mountain Dew, but the Heavenly Dew, will do. The Mountain Dew will fool you. Every once in a while you go to pick up one of them bottles and chug a lug. That thing might be lemon juice instead of Mountain Dew. Say amen. According on which household you live in. But it'll make you shout, won't it, Miss Tanya? It'll make you, your Mountain Dews will make you shout. It'll make you do something. Huh?
They'll tickle your innards.
Tickle your innards. Well, it's just a welcoming thing. I can remember working down on the golf course when I was in Florida, and man, that dew would fall so heavy. I can remember us having tournaments that they couldn't even have a tournament. Because the ball didn't play fair in the dew. You couldn't get your accurate distance. If a typical guy was to hit a ball 250 yards in the dew, he might hit it 240 yards. So what we would do is we would take the golf carts and we would hook ropes to it, and we would run down through the fairways, and what we would do is we would just start brushing that dew so that the sun could dry it up quicker and so they could get to play sooner. But I thought, man, it's amazing how many pair of shoes I've ruined and how much dew really does moisten it. And there's times where I walk outside and we faced little bits of droughts in our areas where we've went weeks and weeks and weeks without any rain. We've seen creeks dry up, and where Eric and Em's come from, they seen the ground crack and dry, and then gaps begin to form. But it's amazing that God can allow the dew to fall in the midst of that night, and the birds have plenty to drink. It's amazing, isn't it? That God can cover the earth with that dew and quench the thirst of all of his creatures. And there his people are. They're in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. And man, they've even murmured from time to time. And God has actually caused water to come out of the rocks. But here they are in this wilderness, and God's began to let the dew fall on the ground, and he's let the manna fall on the ground. Do you know what I believe God wants? I believe that God still wants to be a cool drink to your thirsty soul every morning of your life. I believe that. I just can't get away from that in the scriptures. I can't just do away with it. I can't dismiss it from the scriptures. I still believe, Zach, that God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what he did for his youngins over there in that wilderness, the children of Israel, when he let that dew fall, I believe God wants to do that in your life every day. I believe God has a fresh drink for his people every day, still today. Right. If we'll take time to seek him. If we desire it, he'll not withhold any good thing from us. I believe God still wants to give us a cool drink. I believe he still wants to be a cool drink. If you look at this manna, it fell while it was still dark outside, didn't it? Because if they sat around and waited on that manna after the sun came up, the sun scorched it, and the Bible teaches us that manna even went sour. What God has for you today, don't wait around and think that he's going to give it to you tomorrow. God's got something for you today. Amen. It's not for tomorrow. There'll be something different for tomorrow. But I want to get what God has today. Right. Man, I'm telling you, it's hard to get to tomorrow with God when you don't deal with him today. A lot of times people try to skip, and I hate to use this terminology, but for lack of better words, a lot of people try to skip step A, B, and C, and they just want to finish down there at the finish line. I'm telling you something, friend. It's a daily walk. It's every day with Jesus. We can't wait till Sunday to get right. We don't need to wait till Saturday to get right. We need to be right with God on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. We need to have a walk with him then. Amen. I believe God still wants to be this to us. I believe that manna fell when it was dark. You know what that represents? Ladies and gentlemen, I mean, we can see it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out we're living in a pretty dark day today. I mean, it's pretty wicked. We're living in a wicked society, huh? I mean, Lord have mercy, we that believe the word of God are the oddballs in this world. We're not the majority. We're the minority anymore. If you don't believe homosexuality is an accepted lifestyle, you're an oddball. You're a hater. If you believe in holiness, you're a hater. If you take a stand against some things in this society, they think you're a hater. They think you're critical. They think you're jealous. They think you're mean. Ladies and gentlemen, what I'm just saying is it's dark and we need Jesus. You hear me? When is a better time, Michael, on your job to let the light shine than when the sodomites is thicker on the job than they've ever been in the history of the world? Huh? I mean, you can't bring 10 temps on without having 3 of them to be sodomites. Son, it's a good time to let your light shine. I'm telling you, man, the darker it gets outside, the brighter your light ought to shine. Huh? We're to not let that affect our life. We're not let that affect our walk with God. We're not let that affect our witness. We're not let that affect our testimony. We're to let our light shine. And the darker it does get, ladies and gentlemen, there's never been a better time to be a Christian than in the day which we live. There's never been a better time to walk with God than right now. Man, we look at these men in the Bible and talk about Enoch, how he walked with God. Man, that's fine and dandy. But I want you to understand what Jesus said. Jesus was they were talking about the works that Jesus was doing. Jesus looked at that crowd and said, greater works than these shall ye do, if you just believe. Jesus said, we can do greater works than what he ever did, if we would just believe his word. And that's something. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you, when you let your light shine today, it shines a long, long ways. Always. And that's what we need. It's still dark outside. It hadn't got any better. Look with me, if you will. We'll chase some of these thoughts down. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Deuteronomy is about like aluminum. Just hard for me to say. And I ain't kidding y'all. I literally got so many busted teeth in my mouth. I got cuts on my tongue back here. I got them all over the front. I got them on the bottom. I got them on the backside. Everywhere. I mean, just eating. My tongue cuts across them old teeth. I keep my tongue cut.
Stop talking so much.
Deuteronomy. And he humbled thee, the Bible says, it'd be good if you would get humbled. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger. Are you listening? And fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. No. Ladies and gentlemen, you understand the reason we go through some hard times is because the Lord let us go through some hard times. You understand why them people went hungry? You know why the children of Israel went hungry? God wanted them to go hungry. Every once in a while we go through things in our life and man, I'm telling you, it just sends us off on the deep end. But I want you to understand, when you're where you are to be with God, that won't bother you. Not nearly as bad, because God let that stuff happen in our life. Let's that stuff happen. Say, ain't got no food in the cabinets. Thank God. Lord must not want you. Didn't he say supply all your need according to his riches and glory? Apparently you don't need no food in the cabinet. Right, I've lived off of crackers. That's all right for me to say this. I've literally lived off of saltine, stale saltine crackers that I got at the secondhand store. Raising three kids, didn't have a pot to pee in. Didn't have nothing to feed the family. Go down there to the secondhand store where they felt sorry for the poor people and give me a box of stale crackers. You know what I'm talking about. Bow my head and thank God for that old stale cracker and not even get to chew it up and let it crunch. That thing would just sit there and chew like gum in your mouth. It's so stale. Like you dipped it in water and dried it out almost. It's amazing. Say, what were you talking about? I'm talking about, man, let's, in everything, huh? In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We ought to thank God for the stale crackers. I know that's easy preaching and hard living, but I promise you, I've done both of them. I've preached it and lived it. Amen. I lived it first. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, folks, he gave folks provisions every day. He gave them provision, what they needed every day. Now, when this manna laid on the ground, I mean, whatever was left over, it didn't last for the next day. But God told them before the Sabbath, listen, the day before the Sabbath, on Friday, I want y'all to go out and get twice as much. I want you to gather that manna, because here's a miracle God's going to do. He's going to let that manna keep for an extra day. Now, it usually didn't keep. It would sour. It would go bad. If it was on Thursday, whatever you didn't eat Thursday was bad Friday. So he would have to give you some more, some new stuff, fresh. That's what he does. But on Friday, God told him, he said, here's what I want you to do. Gather up twice as much as you normally do. And I want you to pile it up down there at your house, because you ain't going to do it on the Sabbath. I don't want you out here gathering this. I don't want you working. Pretty good. But, ladies and gentlemen, if you'll read the Bible, you'll see that those people, some of them did just as God said, but then some of them gathered twice as much on Friday and still went out on the Sabbath and gathered more. Greed. Greed. They weren't concerned about being obedient to God. They was concerned about the God of their belly. You understand? Greed, taking care of me. What about me? Give me mine. I want more. I want more. So you know what God did for those people that went out there and disobeyed his word and gathered up the manna on the Sabbath? He killed them. He's so lovely. God is so... Oh, God is love. He's got that pretty little hair and them pretty blue eyes. And first Jew I've ever seen with pretty blue eyes and straight blonde hair. I ain't never seen none of that. Hey, if you ain't got a good idea of what Jesus looked like, they got a picture of him hanging in Black Creek Baptist Church. You can go up there and see. I mean, him... it's a perfect picture of Slick Jagger and his cousin up there. Michael, if you will, just screenshot that thing for us. Bring it back. We'll make us a copy of it. Lord have mercy. I said that to say this. We ought to seek God more for who he is than for what he can do for us. You hear me? Those people went out and gathered the manna, and they missed the miracle that God was going to preserve that manna on the Sabbath day. Instead of looking to God, they looked to themselves and said, I want more for me. That's no way to seek after God. Selfish like that, just about me, me, me. I tell you, one of those old men, I can't remember who it was, whether it was Wesley or which one of them it was, Finney, but they said the most fulfilling life that you'll ever live was a life lived for others. I think Jesus proved that. I think he proved that because he lived for others. Church, I'm telling you, there's people all over the pews today in America that seem to be seeking after the Lord Jesus Christ. Why else would they be at church? Huh? Why else do people go to church? All over America today, millions and millions of bodies is sitting on church pews and sitting in seats, but they're not interested, ladies and gentlemen. Many, many, many of them is not interested. And that was my Trump line. Many, many of them is not interested in God. Mama, would you believe that there's people actually sitting on a church pew today hoping to God that they can find them a husband or a wife? And they're seeking, hey, well, I'm going to get with God. You know how many perverts I know that run down there to the church and hope they can find them a good woman? They sit around and, They sit around and laid around and fornicated and committed adultery their whole stinking life. They want to get down and marry somebody. They run down there to the church. And people are, boy, it's a blessing to see y'all. No, it ain't. It ain't a blessing to see that crowd show up all the time. Come down there and rob somebody's little old daughter being raised in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Come down there and pollute them with all that junk. Bring herpes and gonorrhea and syphilis. That ain't no blessing, friend. That ain't no blessing. My God, what's people seeking God for? I think you ought to trust in the Lord to find your husband and wife. But that ought not be the motive. That ought not be the driver. That ought not be the purpose for people coming. We're to try to get down there and get with God. And if you'll get after him, he'll give you what you need. Sure. He'll give our sons and daughters the one that they need. Thank God. Mama, you can probably remember back. You got a brother. I got an uncle. They started going to a church over there. And they were having a singles thing. And all it was a spiritual whorehouse. But they churched that thing up, man. They put a nice little religious title on it. Man, you could come down there and you could meet you somebody. Listen, all them suckers was interested in was getting, I got to watch my mouth, getting with some man or woman down there, one night stand. You say, how you know? Because that's what my uncle did. That's what he did. That's what he was interested in. He didn't hide. He wasn't lying about it. But they put a nice little name on that, singles night. God, help us get to God. Look with me, if you will, please, in Numbers 11. And people in Deuteronomy, they weren't looking for God. Numbers 11, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Think we're to seek after God for the right reasons, ladies and gentlemen. That's the whole purpose of what I'm talking about today, getting after God, seeking him for the right reasons. Michael, would you believe, and y'all please help me, would you believe that people go to church because it's good for their business? Would you believe that? Would you believe that people actually go to certain churches because this is good for my business? Zach, don't y'all get no idea.
That's why we come here.
No, it ain't nobody in Illinois gets a little about the house, no house. It don't matter what church you go to. A bunch of white coons. I don't care. Let's see. Mama, I worked for a man, old Barry Lewis. I worked for a man one time, and he left his little old church, and we went over and joined Ardmore Baptist Church. Me and you was all over at the Baptist Hospital, that big old massive church back there behind me. We're always looking at all the houses. I mean, that place is massive. The boy went over and joined that church. I said, why are you going over there? He said, man, do you know how many clients I can get in that place? Another old boy went up there to Temple Baptist Church. You know him well. We all know him. He went up there to Temple Baptist Church for years. It's a mediocre-sized Baptist church up there. And son, they built that big old mega church up there at Center Grove. An old boy said, you know what? It's time for me to leave. He left. I said, why are you leaving? He said, man. He said, you know how many more people I can meet over there? How much more business I can That's why you're going to church. That's why you go. That's why you want them church pews. Miss Tanya, I've met people, listen to me, I've met people that left this church and went to that church because this church sung them old time hymns. And that church sung the new modern songs. Them urinals, not them hymns. That's right. I'm just talking about why people, you'd be amazed at why people sitting on church pews today. A lot of people sitting on church pews because there's a pretty little gal on this side and there's a handsome guy on that side. Maybe there's some success sitting over here and they just, it's amazing why people sitting on, think people seeking after God, they seeking after self. Huh? Let's not let that fall on us. And I know we may not be here looking for no boy or no girl and all that kind of stuff. Thank God. Just yet anyway. Maybe Caitlin can find one in here one day. When she gets about 45, we'll let her start courting. Numbers 11 says this, verse 3. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? Oh, who's going to feed us? Listen to what they said. We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. Can I be honest with y'all? That's a stinking lie. I don't have a nice way of saying, that's a bald-faced lie right there. Now this is the children of Israel said, boy, we just had it so good down there in Egypt. Do you remember when them hypocrites were sitting down there in Egypt and all they was doing was whining and complaining? You remember how hard their taskmasters was? You remember how everything was so bad on them? Man, they'd sit down there and weep and cry and beg for God to deliver them. Oh, God, they didn't let them eat like that. They made everything hard on the children of Israel. And here they are, God's done and done and done. He's let them out of Egypt. He's brought water out of the rock. He's let manna fall from the sky. He's done everything in the world. And here they are going, wow, I wish we was back over there, man. We had it made. You just can't please some people. You know it. The devil has so bamboozled this crowd that they even forgot how bad they had it over in Egypt. They forgot how they would have a baby and those Egyptian women, and they would take their babies and they would kill them and slaughter them, and they would take their babies, Miss Tiffany. They would take those Jewish babies and take them by the feet sack and find them a rock, and they would go over to that rock and they would bang them babies and crush them babies and smash them babies on the rocks. It's amazing, isn't it? Well, we had it so good in Egypt. We had it so made that it's taking our babies over there, banging them on the rocks and crushing them and killing them. They didn't come out of a commentary. They came out of the book of Psalms. They said that we wept when we remembered Zion. Huh? We hung our hearts from the willows. Well, they could remember how when they was over in Egypt and they took their babies and they began to kill them and slay them, and here they are saying, man, we had it made. Huh? Boy, I'm going to tell you, you're talking about some people getting your eyes off of Jesus. They looked over and said, we had it made. Look at verse 6. But now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. This is all God's done for us. I mean, man, look how pitiful we are. All we got is this old manna. What else did you need? One more time, what else you need God to do for you? Going to hell because you want to. How about that? You're going to hell because you want to. You're going to hell because you just want to go to hell. Sit in church, you know you're lost. You know you're on your way to hell. You got a problem. I'm going to tell you, you hate God. You hate the Word of God. You hate the thought of God. You hate the thought of having to live clean and holy. You hate everything about God. And you ain't got enough God about you to even say, I hate God. You're so unclean and so unhonest and so impure, so corrupt, so foul, and so twisted, and such a liar, and so deceitful in your own heart, in your own mind, that you can't even admit that you hate God. It's amazing, isn't it? These people sit over there and said, this is all God's done for us. I mean, my God, all he's ever done for me was made flesh. All he ever done for me was hung on a cruel cross. All he ever done for me was gave his life for me. All he ever done for me was be made sin. All he ever done for me was die. All he ever done for me was went to hell. All he ever done for me was resurrected. All he ever done for me was ascended on high. All he ever does for me is pray. I wish I had me a good God. No. We care more about a stupid butt car than we do living for God. America cares more about a fancy house than they do their name in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know why? Because they don't believe. They don't believe. They don't believe in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you believe in the Lamb's Book of Life, son, I'll promise you in the car, you'll say to hell with this world. You'll say to hell with this worldly affair and attraction. And you'll set your goals and your aim and your sights on Jesus. And you'll say in your heart, give me Jesus or I'll bust. Right. You love your stupid sin. You love not having to give an account to God. You love being your own man. You love not having to answer to Him. You love not having to be committed to a prayer closet. You love not having to give up yourself. You love not having to walk in the Spirit. You love this ungodly world. Right, right, right. Why else ain't you saved? Why else ain't you seeking after God? Why else ain't you walking in the Spirit? Why else ain't your life holy? Why else ain't you witnessing others? Why? Tell me why. I'm going to tell you why, because of what I just said. We hate the thought of that. And our hearts are so deceitful we don't even know we hate it. Can't even believe we hate it. Wouldn't dare say that with our mouth, Zach. But our heart screams it, ladies and gentlemen. God's hearing us loud and clear. Here these people are said, all we have is this stupid manna. What God? Why don't He do something? All we got is this. All we've got is Calvary. All we've got is the bread of life. All we've got is the water of life. Why don't God do something? God said, why don't you do something? This manna was a blessing from God. It reminds me of the person that gets saved and how the joy of the Lord floods their soul. Huh? By our souls dried away. Let me tell you something, boy, when that manna fell, you hear me? Thank God it was the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm telling you, friend, I was able to come out of them woods. I told you last week, it seemed like I was floating out of them woods. Man, I'm telling you, it seemed like God just picked me up and carried me. I don't remember a whole lot, but I can remember the joy of the Lord flooding my soul. I can remember the sweetness. But I can tell you this much. That sweetness, y'all come on in, buddy. That sweetness has seemed to dissipate. Right? If you're not careful, ladies and gentlemen, if we get our eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ, that sweetness would dissipate. If we get our eyes off of Him and get our eyes on our own cares and our own physical needs, I promise you, the sweetness of God slowly just, hey, you say, that ain't so, it ain't so. It was so in these people's lives, wasn't it? Let me ask you a question. What's symbolic to God? I mean, I don't necessarily say it's dogmatic, but what's symbolic to God? Splitting that Red Sea and bringing them children across. Spiritually speaking or in typology, that's a type of salvation where God brought us out of bondage, you understand? He brought us out of that yoke of bondage and set us over there. And man, He had heavenly places for them to be. I don't think they got saved because they crossed the Red Sea. I just don't. Because I've never met a saved person yet, Eric, and made some of these comments that these people made. I wish to God we was back in Egypt. I never met a saved man that said, boy, I had it made when I was lost. I tell you, the only thing I've heard people say that ever got saved is, my God, I wish I'd have got saved a whole lot sooner. Well, I wish I'd have got saved when I was a lot younger. I wish I hadn't waited so long. This is the best thing that's ever happened to me. Friend, I'm telling you what saved people do. They enjoy the Lord, amen. That joy floods their soul. Right, they say, they get excited about that. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Just as well as these people looked right here and God did everything that God did for the children of Israel. And He did a lot for them to get over here in the book of Numbers and go, all we got is this manna. Why don't God do something? Huh? You know how many people that's done forgot about Calvary and the price that was paid? The value of that precious blood? Man, I'm telling you, it seems like I don't carry as much weight anymore because we have needs in our life. We have physical needs. We have carnal needs. God, help us to get our eyes back on the spiritual. Help us to get our eyes on Him. I'm going to tell you what I need. I need the Lord Jesus Christ, Michael. I don't want to lose my house. But if I can't ever make another mortgage payment, Mr. Edney, I want to be able to walk with God. You hear me? If I have to sleep in a tent, I want to sleep in there with Jesus Christ. You understand? If I have to walk from one point to another point and I ain't got a car, ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to get my eyes off of Him. I want to be able to walk in the love of the Lord. I want to be able to walk in fellowship. I want to be able to walk from point A to point B in the Spirit of God. And not sit and complain that God ain't been good to me. Oh, friend, He's been so good to me. God's been so good to me. You hear me? I know that it's an old cliche that we ought to be in hell with our back broke. Friend, I really ought to be in hell with my back broke. I don't deserve to be in the church today. I don't deserve to have perfect limbs and a body and a voice and eyes. And I don't deserve to have decent clothes and a roof and a car. And I don't deserve to have these blessings of God. Hey, friend, God's been good to me.
Yeah. Amen.
Oh, boy. I look at some of the less fortunate people that struggle, and I've coached football and had some of them little old black kids that didn't ask for nothing. They didn't ask for nothing. They was just born in that situation. They was born in that family. They come up missed and they didn't have lights in their house. They didn't have groceries in the cupboard. They didn't have water coming out of the sink. I'm telling you, I had a couple of them that never opened their mouth and complained. They never told me how bad it was. They only bragged about their mama, only bragged about their friend. They deserve a whole lot better than I do. I had everything in the world and was just a little idiot. I spit in the face of God. I blasphemed God. I've done everything in the world for God to say, I'm done with you. Son, I've done all that I'm going to do for you. And He would have been so right in doing it. Been so right in walking away from me. I'm just to be honest with you, church. God has been good to me. Let us not forget, as these people did, how good God was. Most of us, just to be honest with you, wouldn't utter the words that these people uttered. Really. Most of us, Michael, has got too much religion to say, wish God would do something for me. All God's ever done for me was, I got 3 healthy kids. I got 4 healthy kids. I got a healthy kid. My family, we got enough money. That all God. We wouldn't dare say that. Boy, when God deals with an individual and they walk away, their heart just said to God, I hate you. I don't want you. I don't need you. Never done enough for me. I got better things than you to deal with. Huh? Think about walking away from God. And the Bible says, what is man that God is mindful of us? Whew. It's appointed, ladies and gentlemen, unto man wants to die. Let me ask you a question. If you reach every goal that you've ever set, if you make every dollar that you've ever desired, if you have every car and every house and everything this world can give, everything, if you reach every bit of that, let me ask you a question. When that last breath leaves your body, what good's it going to do you? Come on. What good's that car going to do? You can't drive it to hell. You ain't going to drive it to heaven. Son, that house can't go with you. That money can't go with you. That boyfriend, that girlfriend, they can't go with you. Dear God in heaven, I tell you, the Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about getting after God. Seeking after Him, not for the material blessings, not for the physical needs, but for the spiritual needs in my life. I'm all for giving gifts. I really am. Wished I had enough money to buy everybody several. I do. Bother me a bit in the least. And I'm all for y'all just loading up and getting me some. If y'all need to borrow a truck to help get all my presents here, I'll loan you a truck. I'm going to tell you something. It'd be nice to get up on Christmas morning and look for God.
Sure would.
It'd be good to get up on Christmas morning to find Christ sitting in your living room. Huh? Can I be honest with you? I say this kind of stuff all the time, but it's the most real thing to me that there is. Instead, he was in my living room this morning. I got upset with him for a little while. I'm telling you, church, I got upset with the Lord Jesus for a little while this morning. Got up here this morning and sat with him for a little while. Just got up and sat over there, Miss Stephanie. Just kind of put my head down and talked to him a little bit. Tried to meditate on some of his word. Jesus. I'm talking about Jesus. I'm not against Christmas trees. It just so happened to be this year, Miss Tanya. We don't have one this year. I don't have a Christmas tree, and we don't have one present laying on the floor. Miss Stephanie, I ain't complaining one bit. God's been better to me than I ever deserved. Just to know that he's in that living room and I can get up and I can sit with him, son, that's more to me than all the gifts in this world. Yeah. I would to God that the church could get back to the point where we sought after Jesus like we do these little material things and these little gifts under the tree. Yeah. I'm telling you, it's amazing how it hurts people's feelings when that husband don't buy that wife something and the husband ought to buy his wife something and the wife ought to buy him 10 things. But it's amazing how hurt our feelings get when we don't get what we want. And it's okay if we didn't meet with the Lord this morning, but for God's sake, you better get me them new pair of shoes. I need that rod and reel. Two of them. I do hate to tell you this, but I got to confess. I don't like it. But a couple years ago, old Garth Brooks wrote a song or sung a song about some of God's greatest gifts or unanswered prayers. And the gist of the song was that back in the day, he liked this little old gal. And boy, he prayed that he could end up with his girl Mary one day. And God never did answer that prayer. And it seemed that he grew up and he ended up finding a girl that was a whole lot better than that girl, that was better to him than he ever dreamed of. And then it dawned on him one day when he seen this other girl that he prayed for as a teenage boy. And I couldn't sing. Y'all be singing. I'm pulling Travis Clayton to sing a country song up in here. Probably wouldn't sound as good as Garth, but I hadn't cheated on my wife like he has either. Amen. I didn't leave my wife and two children for some other piece of woman, right? Amen. I gotta throw that two cents in there. But he seen that other girl and he said, I want to thank God for unanswered prayers. Because if God would have answered that prayer, I would have ended up with her instead of her. Ladies and gentlemen, I know that's a terrible carnal explanation, but I simply brought that up because there's people that seek after God for many, many things. And as for many foolish things, but I've never seen anyone truly seek after God. And God say no. Huh? Never. If you show me a person that has sought after God and God said no, then I'll take that Bible right there and burn it with the first match I can find. Because it ain't worth 2 cents. Because according to Hebrews 11:6, the Bible says, for without faith it is impossible to please God. The they that come to God must first believe that he is. And that he is what? A rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. You seek after him, he's going to reward you. He ain't going to tell you nothing. You may not get that new car and you may not get that girl, but I promise you one thing. You can have him. Amen. Amen. You can have him. Is he still sweet to you? Huh? Is Jesus Christ everything to you? Our physical wants and needs tend to blind us, ladies and gentlemen, from our greatest need, which is our spiritual need. I don't know what you'll get for Christmas this season, but let me encourage you to seek after God for who he is with all your heart. And I hope you get many gifts. But above everything, I hope to God you seek after him with everything that's in you. When you delight yourself in the Lord, ladies and gentlemen, He'll give you the desires of your heart. Huh? Now let me turn that thing around. When you delight in Him, He'll give you the desires of your heart. Matthew, in case my heart has, I'm turning it around, looking at it at a different angle. In case my heart doesn't have any desires in it, if I delight in Him, He'll give me some desires. Ain't that a blessing? Some godly desires. Some godly things in my life. Let me say this and I'm done. Closing my Bible, notes, everything. Would you believe, and I'm not saying anything's wrong with it. Would you believe, Matthew, that there's women that will go to church because they think it's the best way to keep their husband out of sin? And it is. Not a bad thought. What I'm saying, Michael, is they feel like that security. They feel a little more secure if that family's in church. They like God because God can help keep this thing together. What if it all falls apart anyway? Huh? You gonna stand like old Job? You gonna say, I know that when I'm tried, I'll come forth as gold? Huh? What if it all falls apart anyway? I'm telling you, there's church family after church family after church family. I've seen them run the pews, shout left and right. They're ending up in divorce court every time I turn around. What you going to do? Better seek God for the right reasons. Good. That's right. And I tell you, when you seek Him for the right reasons, He will help keep the family together. There ain't nothing in this world like it. Nothing like it. Everything falls into place when you put Jesus where He ought to be, right, in your life. Say, I don't know about that, preacher, really. The Bible says that the children of Israel hindered the Holy One of Israel. They hindered God. God couldn't even do what He wanted to do in their life because of their unbelief. Father, we thank You for this day. Help us, God, to seek after the Lord Jesus Christ. Not so much, Lord, for our physical needs, but, Lord God, for our spiritual needs. Lord, I need to have a closer walk with You. Lord, I need my faith increased. I need, dear God, to walk in the Spirit. God, I'd like to live a Spirit-filled life. Lord, I'd like to have a testimony, God, that'll bless others. Lord Jesus, I need the Lord Jesus Christ to live a holy, dedicated, consecrated life for the Lord Jesus. A life that's pleasing to You. Lord, I want my life to please the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, I need You for that. Lord, I pray that You'd continue to help this congregation, help us to grow. Lord, I pray that You'd bless each and every family in this Christmas season. Pray, God, that You look after Michael and Tanya and Caitlin and Sarah Bella and Isaiah as they travel. Lord, Eric and Hannah and Nathan and Benjamin, I pray, God, that You'd protect them as they travel. Look after them, dear God. I pray that You'd bless them in this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.